Everyone is talking about King Charles III. It's kind of fascinating. I never thought much about Prince Charles. I was a kid when he got married to Diana, but I was in Paris the day she died, so I was swept up in the emotions of her sudden passing. Otherwise, I've only been on the periphery of whatever the monarchy means in today's world. Welcome back to Accelerando. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about philanthropy versus patronage. Like a lot of people, I thought Elizabeth would outlive her children, but Charles has risen to the throne, and everyone is wondering what he'll do for our world. Will it be climate change, energy, economy, philanthropy? He seems to be in the forefront of so many issues, and the possibilities are exciting, but the reality of being the king might mean he's not as influential as the prime minister on most matters of politics. He might have been free to speak out as Prince of Wales, but not as king. In matters of art and culture, he has freedom to patronize and support. Charles playing the cello? I read about it first on Facebook, as happens these days. King Charles played the cello when he was young. How did I miss that? There he was, or rather the actor portraying him on Netflix's The Crown, toting a cello case. I did see that, but forgotten. And it's true, he loved playing the cello in the orchestra at Trinity, and there are a dozen articles about his musical study, his playing and conducting even, that popped up this week, as the excitement of his rising to the throne is the buzz everywhere. So to cellists like myself, it kind of makes me feel more tied to the monarchy more than ever before. Charles is a cellist. He says he loves playing in the orchestra, being part of it, having the sound wash over him, all feelings I embrace. I never thought a British king would experience the world the way we do as musicians, or anyone in the world, actually. What does it mean to have a king who truly appreciates the arts? His love of ballet, theater, and orchestras come from experiences he treasured as a youth. He speaks of vivid memories of going to the ballet with his grandmother at age 7 and says everyone should have the same experience. This is great. The new king is already saying every child should experience classical ballet before 3rd grade.
Well, I suppose various people were playing it around me. My grandmother, I used to play quite a bit of music, so I would hear something there, but I suspect the first time I really became aware of it was being taken by my grandmother, Queen Elizabeth II, Covent Garden, age 7. I think it must have been in 1956, to see the Bolshoi Ballet perform. And it was their first visit to the United Kingdom. And I shall never forget that incredible occasion there. I was completely inspired by it, which is why it's so important, I think, for grandparents or other relations to take children at about the age of 7 to experience some form of the arts in performance.
One can hope that his enthusiasm will encourage the same thing on this side of the pond. Funding in the arts in America has always been a struggle. Over here, we rely on philanthropists for grants and funding, whereas in Europe, patronage often comes from the state. The idea of patronage in Europe reaches way back thousands of years. The monarchs would sponsor the artists that they thought reflected their political or social interests, and they had to be particularly prestigious as well. Any artists you know from those periods, they were most likely supported by royal patrons, Mozart, Haydn, Michelangelo, maybe even Beethoven. Orchestras that have the title royal are endowed by the crown, but not all orchestras endowed by the crown bear the title royal. Charles became the patron of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra this year. He's also patron of the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, the Monteverdi Choir, and the Regina Symphony Orchestra in Canada. Orchestras with names like the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, the Royal Ballet, the Royal Opera, and the Royal Concertgebouw are supported by the state and considered to be the very best. Glasgow's Royal Scottish National Orchestra is the premier national orchestra in Scotland, as declared by Her Majesty the Queen. Elizabeth became the patron of the Royal Scottish National Orchestra in 1977, and as a result, the orchestra officially changed its name to include the title Royal. So many other orchestras in Europe are state-funded as well. That is the case of the Royal Stockholm Philharmonic Orchestra, where my friend Joni Fagan plays, and her husband Stephen, also a friend, is a member of the viola section. The orchestra acquired its name because of the patronage from the Swedish royal family. So the Royal Stockholm Philharmonic Orchestra is to Sweden what the Royal Philharmonic is to London. And both are actually called the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra in their own countries, but the use of Stockholm is only attached outside of the Swedish language for the Swedish Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. One of the finest orchestras in Europe, it does the broadcasting and recording in Sweden, in addition to their concert season at the Konserthuset. They perform for the annual Nobel Prize ceremonies and the Stockholm International Composers Festival and Composers Weekend each May. I did get to hear them when I visited Sweden in 2016. And I also came to realize there are a lot of things that are done differently in Europe that are actually better. From conservation to social services and healthcare, our friends in Scandinavia are far more civilized in many respects, and the arts are no exception. In the case of Iceland, their orchestra is funded 100% through their state treasury and the city of Reykjavik. In Europe, the arts are just treated with more respect, importance, and reverence. In America, we seem to stand for entrepreneurship, innovation, pull your own weight, and a desire to keep the government away from our business interests. In the midst of all this, the arts seem to be left as the lost stepchild. Europe stems from centuries of patronage. The U.S. wants to say the arts need to buck up and find their own way. Hold your own. Support yourself. But after decades of fighting over the National Endowment of the Arts, which gets pennies from the budget, American arts organizations have learned to quilt together budgets from multiple sources, be it grants, foundations, individual donors, some state funding, and a lot of prayers every year. So compare all this with what King Charles III said, and I quote, "I've spent a large portion of my life trying to help them survive or raise money. They are so utterly vital to this country and play such a huge part in culture and diplomacy." Unquote. On that note, I'll leave you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for checking the show notes. And thanks for sharing this. And we want to thank King Charles for his support of the arts. Long live the King.